there's a good question that I get asked often as a pastor, as a Bible teacher. Can I know God's will for my life? Can you? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today on the Big Panic Podcast. My name is Mike. I'm your online Bible study buddy, and it's Friday, so that means we're going to cover another question that I get asked as a pastor. Can I know God's will for my life? Now, we're going to look at a number of scriptures, and one scripture is particularly interesting, and a lot of people will use this scripture. And it's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Now, is it right to take that verse and apply it to yourself? Understanding, of course, that it was written to Israel thousands of years ago. It's not written to you at all. But can you take that verse and use it somehow to prove that you can know God's will for your life, because that's what that verse is talking about? Well, we'll talk about that on the Panic Podcast. It is so good to have you with us. A little late, getting going today. It's just been a beautiful, beautiful few days. I wasn't in the office at all yesterday. I had a bunch of stuff to do around the house, and I think it was like 91 degrees yesterday. It was gorgeous. Not a speck of rain anywhere in Wise County. How unusual is that? Calling for rain today. We'll see what happens. Gonna be some, I guess, daytime heating will, tell the story. Well, I hope you had a good week. Of course, the week's not quite over yet, but it is Friday. Looking forward to a really nice weekend. I hope you are too. Whatever it is you're gonna be doing on the weekend, I hope it's a good one. And, boy, how about those gas prices? Hey, they've really come down. They've come down a lot here in my neck of the woods. I hope they've come down in your neck of the woods too. So, can I know God's will for my life? Or a variation on that question would be, how can I know God's will for my life? So, on the one hand, I can understand why Christians wonder about God's will. Because we live in a world filled with choices, uncertainties, distractions. And seeking God's direction is not just a spiritual exercise, but honestly, it's an absolute necessity for living a purposeful existence. So, on the other hand, I often wonder if the folks asking me this question have any real intention of following God's will once they know what it is. The simple fact is this. God definitely has a plan for each one of his people. God has a plan for everybody on earth, by the way. And unless you know Jesus, God's plan for you is an eternal stay in hell. So I hope you know Jesus. And if you don't, I hope you get to know him. But God definitely has a plan for each one of his people. One that is ultimately good, pleasing, and perfect. That's what the Bible teaches. Our text, as I said, was not written to us or about us, but it does remind us that God's intentions are based on his love for his people, not confusion or harm or anything like that. Understanding God's will begins with recognizing that it encompasses both his general will, revealed through Scripture to all believers, and his specific will, which is tailored to individual circumstances. That's a good question. Some examples of God's general will might include things like, it's God's will for you to love God and love others. It's Matthew 22:37-39. It's also God's will for you to pursue holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. And it's also God's will for you to give thanks in all situations. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So these form the foundation upon which personal guidance is built. And yet a lot of people, Christians, struggle with discerning the particulars. Like they understand that it's God's will for them to love him and loving others.
It's God. They know that God wants them to be holy people. They know that God wants them to give thanks in all situations. But what about career paths, relationships, major decisions, and so on? Well, the good news is this, that God will most certainly reveal his will to you if you seek him earnestly. Proverbs 8:17, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. So let's talk first of all about seeking God's will through prayer and communion. And I don't mean holy communion. I mean like communing with God. Without a doubt, prayer, I mean, it's the lifeline of the Christian faith, an important avenue for discerning God's will. Praying is not just asking God for things, like presenting requests, but it's actually communing with God, bringing our hearts in line with him. James wrote a really encouraging verse for all of us, James 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Here, wisdom refers to practical insight, which includes understanding God's direction. So when we pray for wisdom, God actually promises to give it liberally, without making you feel bad that you're asking him. Like, consider our Lord's example. You remember what he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was facing the cross? Matthew 26, verse 39 from the TNIV says, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. Now, I want to read it from the Living Bible because it's a little different, and honestly, I like it. Jesus went forward a little and fell face down toward, and fell face downward on the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup be taken away from me, but I want your will, not mine. That is what submission to God's will looks like. Submitting to God's will may not always be what you want. In fact, I would suggest that it rarely is ever what you want. That's why it's called submitting to God's will. And submitting to God's will may not always be the easy thing. But you know, as his children, we need to pray and ask God to help us to reshape our wills to match his. We also see this as part of the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6, verse 10, again from the Living Bible, may your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. So the best way to apply this is to cultivate a consistent prayer life. And by consistent, I don't mean start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. Okay, you've got to be committed to praying every day, and whether you feel like it or not. And you're not a hypocrite if you pray when you don't feel like it. That's ridiculous. So begin, when you pray, begin with adoration and praise. But also confess sins that could cloud your judgment. Listen to this, Psalm 66, verses 17 and 18. For I cried to God for help with praises ready on my tongue. He would not have listened if I had not confessed my sins. And as you pray, you also need to thank God for his past guidance and ask him for clarity now. Ephesians 5:17, I think, is really helpful with this. Ephesians 5:17. Don't act thoughtlessly, but try to find out and do whatever God wants you to do. It's from the Living Bible. The NIV says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So, I mean, this refers to ignoring God's voice, the idea that God's wisdom comes by way of persistent seeking. So persist in prayer. Don't stop praying. Keep asking for guidance. Don't ignore the voice of the Lord. Sometimes, when God's answers seem long in coming, there's a real challenge for us. I hate when that happens, by the way. It's always nice when God answers him when we want him to. But the words of the prophet Habakkuk are extremely helpful when it seems to take a long time for God to come through. Habakkuk 2:3, "For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come, and I will not delay." So God will answer that prayer, but it's always in his time, not your time. Now, the other thing I want to mention in regarding God's will is Scripture. Like, the simple fact is, the Bible is God's written revelation to us. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a guide for my path." The Bible provides principles for decision making. Read an interesting quote in this regard. "To know God's will, immerse yourself in his word." To know God's will, immerse yourself in his word. Romans 12:2, I think, is pivotal. And it's a result of immersing yourself in God's word. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Renewing your mind simply means changing your habitual way of thinking. It's replacing worldly thoughts with biblical truths. For example, if a person is thinking about changing jobs, he or she might want to look at verses that deal with work, like Colossians 3:23. "Whatever you do, do it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters." In fact, the very next verse tells us that, in fact, it's the Lord we're serving when we're performing our work at work. Okay, that might make a difference in your choice of jobs, making sure that you're free to serve the Lord while you're working. When it comes to the illumination of God's word, the Holy Spirit does it for you, but you've got to do your part. You got to read it. Like, the Holy Spirit can't make God's word make sense to you if it's not in your head in the first place. So you got to read it thoughtfully and prayerfully. You need to read it, and you need to study it systematically. You just can't pick up the Bible like a telephone book and open it up and just start reading, like, wherever your eyeball lands on the page. You might want to read Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 6, because it promises that crying out for insight and searching for it is like looking for hidden treasure that leads to understanding the fear of the Lord and finding the knowledge of God. But as you read the Bible, you need to learn how to apply a verse to you personally. Like, most of the Bible's not written to you or about you. It's written to other people that have been dead for thousands of years. But you need to take those words that the Holy Spirit miraculously inspired the writer to write, and then miraculously preserved through thousands of years, and you got to learn how to apply those verses written to someone else to yourself. Like in relationships, marriage and otherwise. 2 Corinthians 6:14 warns against being yoked with unbelievers or being joined to an unbeliever. Okay, that might influence marriage, a decision about marriage, but also business partnerships you might be considering. Proverbs 22 verse 7 tells us that the borrower is slave to the lender. That might help you decide whether or not to go in debt buying a new car when you don't really need one. We're told in Psalm 119, verse 11, to hide God's word in our heart so that we can resist sin and align ourselves with God's will. I'll tell you what, there's nothing better than group Bible studies to help with that. And good devotionals can help give you better insights. We have one that we use in church all the time. We buy like millions of copies for our members, for themselves, but also to give out. And it's called, what is it called? I think it's called God's Word for Today, I think it is. And it's really good. It's one of the best little daily devotionals, you can find. But you also need to be guided by the Holy Spirit. That would be my third point. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And he, and part of his work is to guide us into all truth. Romans 8:14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. So if God's children are led by the Holy Spirit, discerning God's will involves, becoming sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Acts 16, verses 6 to 10 is a really good example of this. Paul and his friends were literally kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching in Asia. And then they received a vision directing them to Macedonia. This shows us that the Holy Spirit can close doors and open other doors, can provide vision, dreams, or just inner convictions. But you got to be praying. And you gotta be able to tune your ear to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to you. You can also cultivate this guidance through being baptized in the Holy Spirit and being filled continually. It also helps if you're walking in the Spirit as opposed to the flesh, as Paul taught in Galatians 5. If you're walking in the flesh, you can pretty much rule out knowing God's will. God can't get through to a worldly, fleshly mind. If you're busy listening to every other voice, you're not going to hear the still small voice of the Lord. You just won't. I mean, because that still small voice may come as a scripture impression or a sense of peace or an unease about a choice or a decision. But you're never going to know if you're so worldly minded, you can't notice these things. Colossians 1:9, I'm going to read it here. Let me see if I can find it. It's a really good verse to know. Colossians 1:9, for this reason, since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. So as the Spirit moves you, test all prompting against Scripture. Because the Holy Spirit never, ever, ever adds to Scripture or goes against God's Word. In the church, sometimes the Spirit will speak through a word of knowledge or a prophecy. It's the gifts of the Spirit at work. So being in a church that actually, that has members that exercise the gifts of the Spirit might be a good idea. And being around God's people is absolutely essential if you want to know God's will. Because you will get wisdom from other believers. Proverbs 11:14. For lack of guidance, a nation falls, but victory is won through many advisors. Now, this verse, by the way, doesn't mean that you should run around from church to church or from this Bible study to that one looking for an answer that you like. It does mean associating with other Christians and seeking input from mature believers. And this is most likely going to take place within the context of your local church. A good example of this is seen in Exodus chapter 1, where Jethro advises Moses on delegation, preventing burnout. You know, these days, pastors, elders, mentors and such can help give perspective on a problem or a decision that you're thinking about making. Advice is never hard to get. Most people offer it freely, usually without being asked. It's up to you to discern good advice or counsel. You make sure that it aligns with Scripture, comes from godly lives, and promotes things like peace. Avoid yes men and value honest feedback. And I cannot stress this enough. Make sure you're a member of and involved in a local church. God works through the church. A solid Bible-based church will be full of people manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. Something else that you need to become very good at, and this takes time and prayer and practice, you got to interpret the circumstances of your life. Circumstances can indicate God's will, but interpret them cautiously with other methods. Like, you know, Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 tells us that God opens doors no one can shut, meaning that God can and sometimes does open doors for you to go through. These are doors of His making. And when He opens one, nobody can close it. Going through that door is His will for you. But you gotta go through it first. I mean, He's not gonna force you. A piece of advice that I often give people is that if you see an open door in your life, go through it. Open doors can be very rare. But God won't force you. You can see this in Acts chapter 16 where one door closed for Paul and it redirected Paul in the right direction. Proverbs 16 verses 3 and 9, commit to the Lord whatever you do and He will establish your plans. In their hearts, human beings plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. I like those two verses because they teach us something really important. You can't just sit around hoping to, quote unquote, receive a word from the Lord. Sometimes you should do that, right? But other times, time may not be a luxury. Sometimes all you can do is make your plans prayerfully and ask God to bless your endeavors. I think it's human nature to make plans unless you're really lazy. And if you're walking with the Lord daily, living in obedience to His word and praying faithfully, then God is already directing your path, whether you notice it or not. So knowing God's will is, honestly, it's a journey of faith. It's not a one-time event. You got to integrate prayer, Scripture, Holy Spirit guidance, wise counsel, and circumstances for clarity. And as you seek out God's will, please remember Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must first believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now this means more than just believing God is real. It means that you believe He is real, that He is close, that He is interested in you, and that He works with you. See, God is not an abstract idea. He is real. And if you will let Him, He really does want to be a partner in this life. So step out in obedience to His known will, in holiness, in service, and being thankful, and so on. And I promise you, the specifics that you're interested in will begin to unfold. Be patient. All right, it's 25 minutes past the hour. Time to move on with other things. Thank you so much for listening to the Panic Podcast today and all week long. It's going to be a pretty nice weekend in Wise County, so get out and enjoy the sunshine on Saturday. Good chance of rain on Sunday, though, but that's just because of the daytime heating. May or may not happen. But have a good weekend. Make sure that you're in church on Sundays. It is the place to be Sundays, if you're a believer. If you're a believer and not in church, you are in open rebellion against God. So get in a church that preaches the Bible. And we'll see you back here, Monday for the next Panic Podcast. Thanks for listening today. God bless you all.